Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It is the party, people. Party, party, party. Hope you're doing well. We are enjoying ourselves on this election night. We are stuffed full of fun and knowledge as we break it down from you top to bottom here on the Chad Benson Show. Trump is getting closer and closer to grabbing Florida right by the P. If you, oh, God, Chad, but don't, can't say stuff like that. Come on now. Dow Futures, by the way, is down nearly 500 points. For those of you out there who are big Hillary fans and you think that she speaks for us, this, you know, the 99%, understand that the big billionaire in this thing scares Wall Street more than, quote unquote, the empathetic woman who understands the 99%. Wall Street love her big time. They love some Hillary. So understand that. Get a feeling for that. We'll be breaking it down as we go out throughout the evening, and it's going to be a very interesting evening, to say the least. But I love the look on CNN's face and some of these other places, even if Trump doesn't win tonight, right? Even if Trump, you know, all of this goes and it gets really close and it's the bad news bears, right? And eventually, almost, but they didn't quite win, right? Almost, but they didn't quite win. Kelly Leak and the boys, Tatum O'Neill, they couldn't pull them over, and it didn't work. Even if the look on the faces of MSNBC, CNN, and all of them, it's priceless because they're wrong. They've been big time wrong in a lot of these things. And it makes me laugh. It really does. It gives me a chuckle in my heart. It gives me a chuckle in my heart. Look, I'm wrong. I thought, I'm the first one to admit it, but I've said, one day my gut's this, one day my gut's that. Phil, you've been the same way, right? You've said, I think he's going to get crushed, and you've said, I don't know.
Yeah, it just depends on the day.
No, it does. And I woke up this morning, and I thought, oh, it can't happen. She's going to win this thing. It can't happen. But it's going to be closer than I think people think. And I've said that. I said, I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, but she's going to win big time when it comes to the electoral college, but when it comes to the populist vote, it's going to be much closer. He may win this thing. I don't know. I mean, my gut was telling me maybe it was Hillary, but for a while there, it was all Hillary. But, you know, earlier today, I was like, he may win. I don't know. Because I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be talking to you guys. You can check us out on Facebook Live. We're broadcasting live in 3D Technicolor. It's interesting. It really is, the way that this thing is breaking down tonight. And it's one of those things where if you're Trump, while you have a path and there was a few different ways to get to a victory, there were pretty much, you know, two or three, and everything had to go right. Nothing could break for you one way or another. It had to be, this is it. This is the way it has to go. If it goes any other way, we're screwed, blued, and tattooed. And so far tonight, while things haven't popped all the way yet, they're breaking in a way that it may be Occam's razor, which is the, you know, the shortest, easiest way is the right way. And it's interesting. Right now in Michigan, too, he is up by, about, you know, 30,000, 20,000. You know, who knows? You know, it depends on who you're watching, where this is going to go. But the fact that he is so close in many of these places is also going to show you that the nervousness that's sitting around with inside the Democratic Party, because I think tonight they were planning a party of epic proportions. And I don't know if they're going to have a chance to have epic proportions in their party. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But when you look at what's outstanding, in fact, we'll grab Greg Columbus here, who's the Radio America news director. Greg, you there?
Yes, sir.
Give us a breakdown. You were talking earlier about Pennsylvania and Michigan, which were two states that I think the Democrats thought that they had a real good chance of taking these easily. And while she's ahead, most of where they counted the big votes for her have already been cast, and he's got a lot of red out there still yet to be counted.
That's correct. Actually, in Michigan, she is behind now. Wayne County, which is the big Democratic stronghold, is only at 15%, so she's got some chances there. But there's still, I see some counties that I expect to be very, very red, obviously with smaller vote totals, still to be counted. So Grand Rapids, that is a big Republican area. Trump is up by 20 points, only 6% counted there. So there's a lot of Trump votes still to come in Michigan as well. I can see why the Clinton campaign was telling Andrea Mitchell that they were sweating that one out at this point, because it definitely looks like that's going to be a long night there, much, much closer than anyone expected. Over in Philadelphia, now 84% of the vote in, and the lead is only 8.5 points now. Remember, we said before, last time we talked, it was about 16 points. Still less than half of the vote in Pennsylvania is in, and the suburbs around Philadelphia are starting to trickle in as well, and those are not looking quite as dominant for Hillary Clinton as she probably was expecting. Bucks County, only 10% in, but she's only got a 6-point lead there. Chester County, only a 9-point lead there. Over in Allegheny, which is Pittsburgh, she's up by 20 points and only 21% in. So that's probably her best chance to start dragging in some votes. But a lot of red in Pennsylvania, and we're still watching other states as well. It's getting pretty late in North Carolina. I think Senator Burr's in very good shape there, it would appear, although nobody's called that race yet. And Trump is still maintaining about a 2 to 3 point lead there. As for Wisconsin, Trump is still ahead by 5 points, and Milwaukee County still only at 45% of the vote counted. But Dane County, Madison, last time was less than 10%. Now it's 32%. So Trump maintaining a lead there, even as some Democratic strongholds start to come in.
You know, as we talked about these places, there's still one big one hanging out there to really start tonight, to start to see things being declared winners for, and that's obviously Florida. Florida's got 96% of its counted already, and he's still holding a lead of, what, about 130,000 or so, give or take. What's left out there?
Well, 99% is in Miami-Dade, so that's pretty much done. Then you go up to Broward, that's 98% in. Then you go to Palm Beach, that is 97% in. I don't know how much Hillary can expect to clear 100-some thousand votes. Right now it looks like it's almost 140,000 vote lead for Donald Trump. You got 95% in total, and there aren't that many other blue areas. You go over to the Orlando area, everything that's blue, it's all in. Tallahassee, Leon County, that's Hillary country. That is also entirely in. So she is badly running out of votes in Florida. And the way that these counties and precincts are looking in these critical counties for Democrats, it's hard to see where she finds that many votes with that few left to count.
Well, I'm going to declare it right now that Donald Trump has won Florida. That is my declaration. Hey, I want to be first. I don't have to be right, kids. But I am declaring that he is going to win Florida, which will be, I think, shocking to some. And for him, I think it gives it just strengthens this entire thing and makes it worth it. And I have a feeling tonight that we're going to see another surprise or two. And Ohio and Pennsylvania, you've showed me that, like, you know, what's going on in Pennsylvania is could be extremely interesting. And if she loses Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida, this is going to be a long night, and this is going to be a situation where we could be talking about a President Trump.
Quick update on Wisconsin for you, Chad. I just told you Milwaukee was 45% in. It's now 82% in. And while Trump's lead has shrunk, there's still less than 40% of the vote counted. So a lot of it's going to be in red areas, and he's still ahead.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he's going to land there. He's sitting at 149. She's at 108. 270 needed to win. And we're going to have some stuff coming up here. I have a feeling sooner rather than later, including Florida, maybe Ohio, and this could be a night to remember, a night of history. And what do you think, old Bill? Man, he's probably bummed if this goes south, because he thought he was going to get some tail running through that office, and that's going to be none of that going on, Greg.
Well, maybe not in the Oval Office.
But now she's going to be home, because she'll have no job.
Well, they've got multiple residences. Let's not think that Bill hasn't thought this through.
Oh, my goodness. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Greg Crumbus, he'll be joining us throughout the evening. We'll talk to you soon, brother. I appreciate that.
You got it.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Once again, I call it first because I'm the caller of first. I'm calling that Florida is going for Donald Trump. Which will be the first of what could be several dominoes here that could give an amazing night for Donald Trump here and really change a lot of what's going on in the world of politics. More Straight Ahead, Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Ohio's being called by MSNBC for the Donald. I called Florida for the Donald. Those two he definitely needed. Now Jim Kennedy joins us from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, what else does he need here? Which one of these, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, which of these is he desperate for to make this a night of complete uncomfortableness?
Well, the answer is yes, and any of those would be great for him. Obviously, Michigan, because I think he's got, or Michigan or Pennsylvania, because he got the highest electoral votes available out there, would be the great ones for him to pull off.
So he wins these. He wins, you know, and he really wins them. I've called them, of course. MSNBC called them, but I called them first. He gets Pennsylvania. I mean, right now, she's got to start looking at this and thinking, oh my God, there's some nervousness going on here because none of this is going by script.
No, and they are right now probably frantically getting every last person that they can find in Nevada on the phone to get every last person to the polls in Nevada just to make sure.
God, I mean, it is nerve-wracking. I mean, it's got to be for her. It's nerve-wracking for us. I mean, we're watching this thing live, and Jim Kennedy's with me in studio from Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. And as we see this now, and you see the way this is breaking down, I mean, The thought of her winning 369 and 329 and 310, that's out the window.
Yeah.
The thought of her getting to 270 is, you know, it's no longer a sure thing. He picks up Michigan. He picks up Wisconsin. He's got Ohio and Florida. He the president?
He very well might be. It all depends on how it plays out in the rest of the country as we get past the Rockies. But there might very well be close to putting a big gold T on the top of the White House, yes.
Man, that'd be pimp. I have to be honest, that'd be kind of pimp right there. Would you say, and I don't really want to hang out here because I like my place a little bit better, right? Like, presidents have done that in the past. Like, I'll show up once in a while, but I like Manhattan. It's a lot of fun. And talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, speaking of that, the Republicans have a Trump question that they're going to have to answer tomorrow. And regardless now of what takes place, the best thing that the Republicans, the old guard, that they could have wished to happen is she cleaned his clock tonight. That's out the window. You're going to have a situation where he could potentially be president. And if he's not, he is so close to being president that that question remains there. They have to rebuild. And now they've got, instead of a Tea Party like small factions here or there, they had 60 plus million people that were on the Trump train.
No, absolutely. I mean, either way, as you said at this point, he is the leader of a group of people that are a significant portion of the Republican Party. And if you are Rance Priebus, or like you said, if you're Paul Ryan, what do you do tomorrow? Whichever way this goes, if it wins, then you sit down with Donald Trump. If he loses, he's still got a very significant group of people that can make or break the Republican Party. And they are not in line. Their beliefs are not in line with Rance Priebus's. They're not in line with Paul Ryan's. What do you do to fix that problem? And it's going to be a very difficult question for them to sort through.
It is going to be a very difficult question. And as I look here and I see the way this is going to go, or see the way this is heading out for them, and I see how this is unraveling, and I think the anger and the fear and all of the stuff that's taking place right in front of a lot of these people's eyes, you start to think to yourself, you want to rebuild a party, but you're going to have a party that's fractured from the top down, where you're going to have a president potentially who's pissed at his own party and owes them no loyalty, from Rance Priebus to Paul Ryan And if you're Paul Ryan tomorrow and he wins, do you say, I'm done, I'm out, I don't want to be Speaker anymore?
Well, probably not, because he, as we've said, he wants the next job up, which is president. And he needs to keep his face out there and keep his name out there. So, no, he can't really, I don't think he can walk away. Maybe he can in 2 years and begin prepping for the presidency in 2018 in the midterms. But for the next 2 years, he's going to have to be the Speaker of the House. But it gives us an opportunity. If he can show that he can work with Trump, maybe he can work with the Democrats and bring bills in. Maybe he can bring in immigration reform. Maybe other, you know, maybe other things that, that have been looked at. But he's got to put his face out there, because, like I said, he's looking at something bigger down the road than being the 2020 presidential candidate, in my book.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I think a lot of what we've talked about over the last, you know, several months is, where do they go after Trump? Where do they go after this Trumpness? Now, we flip the script, though, and we look over on the other side of things. Hillary tonight, the potential of her not winning this is a huge story. And if she doesn't win, where do the Democrats go from here? Because they're having they have a Bernie Sanders issue, they have Elizabeth Warren issue, and now they have a Hillary not winning it. And by the way, they've Virginia for Hillary, which was not a shocker. A lot of people are thinking that. But what do they do?
Well, they are going to – Hillary's will walk away, because she knows that she's too old. She's not going to run again. She's done. She's given it her best effort two times now, and she's done. You'll have lots of people. Tim Kaine may hold some power in the party. Barack Obama, I think, because of his general likability in the party, is still going to be probably a kingmaker for a while. Because remember, he's going to decamp down the street. He's not going away. He's going to be down the street in Washington, D.C. So he's still got the opportunity to basically make a lot of decisions. If the Senate flips, you're going to have Chuck Schumer as the new head of the Senate, as the Senate Majority Leader. So he would have power in the party, too. But if Trump wins and it's 50-50, then he's not going to be that, and there's going to be basically they're looking for bringing up some young talent. Julian Castro is a name that's always been mentioned as someone who's an up-and-comer in the party. You've got some governors out there and possibly some senators to look at. But it's going to be a pretty wide-open field for them come 2020.
Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting as we break down. We're going to keep Jim through this quick break here, but we are doing it live. Got another 90 minutes or so, and I have a feeling between now and then some stuff is going to shake out, and we're going to have a clear path to who's going to be president of the United States. Currently, as it sits, 167 to 109, Trump has the lead in Electoral College, and it's getting closer and closer to him grabbing Florida as well. 99% has been counted. I've already called it for him, so you can put that on the board. The Chad Benson Show Facebook. Watch us stream live there. You can also text the show, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Michigan is normally the most irrelevant place in America, but for tonight, it may play a key role in deciding who will be the president of these here United States. What's going on? It's Chad Benson. We are doing it live. We're going to go all the way till 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast. By then, we may or may not know, and I'm sure there could be some other stuff legally that may prevent us from knowing who's going to be president, because you never know who may lawyer up in these things. With me is Greg Corumbus from Radio America, out there covering everything for us on the East Coast, and Jim Kennedy from Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research with me right now. Greg, give us a breakdown of what's happening in Michigan right now.
Michigan is very interesting. It's actually tightened a little bit because more votes have come in from Wayne County. That's Detroit, and that's a major Democratic hub. They've got about a third of the votes in now, 34%, and Clinton's up 62-33. Overall, Trump is up by about 4 points, because if you go over to Kent County, which is Grand Rapids, still only 9% of the vote in there. That's good news for him. Oakland County is at 71%. That's a major suburban area just north of Detroit. Clinton only up by 8 points there. I'm pretty sure Obama did quite a bit better than that 4 and 8 years ago. Macomb County, which is kind of the place where Reagan Democrats were born back in 1980, Very interesting bellwether in Michigan, only 15% in, but right now Trump leads 55-39 in Macomb County, so he's up by 4 points. All told, looks like about 36% of the vote in Michigan.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. Florida, you said something earlier. Florida hasn't seemed to move at all.
No, it really hasn't, because we've basically gotten stuck at 95% of the precincts reporting. And as we said before, those big three counties for the Democrats in the southeastern corner, Miami-Dade now reporting 100% in. So they're done. They're counted. 98% in Broward is counted, and 97 in Palm Beach. So we're still at a point where Trump leads by 1.5 percentage points. That translates to 136,000 votes. That is outside the margin for an automatic recount in Florida, because I believe it's 0.5 percentage point. Most of us remember that from 2000. So, I mean, whatever precincts are remaining, that would have to be an unbelievable turnout there for Hillary Clinton. And if you look at most of these other counties, the 67 counties in Florida, 100%, 100%, 100%, even in some other Democratic areas. The Tampa area, which we said before, Trump has done better than Mitt Romney did. All the votes are in there. All the votes are in around Orlando. All the votes are in around Tallahassee. So we're just waiting for a few more precincts in Palm Beach and Broward. And I, again, it's hard to see how the math is there for Hillary to win it at this point.
Talking to Greg Corumbus from Radio America, and Jim Kennedy's with us. Jim, it's an evening that has been very, very interesting, to say the least. Colorado's just been called for Hillary. We pretty much predicted, and we thought that was going to happen. Right now, this is up in the air. And we talked before we went to break, we talked about Barack Obama. He's not going to be gone. This is as much an indictment in some ways, I think you'll feel, on his presidency, that she didn't get an extra 4 years to extend his legacy, as anything else. And that's got to be frustrating for him, because you thought, you know what, look at all the jobs I brought back, look at everything that I've done. Shouldn't I be getting X, Y, and Z? Essentially, shouldn't I be getting 4 more years, even though it's not me? That's craziness.
Right, but they picked a highly flawed candidate. If it was been anybody else, had been a Democrat, that if it had been Tim Kaine, probably even, we probably would not be having this conversation.
Who exactly? Tim Kaine. Who? Wait, what? Who?
Yes, Tim Kaine.
But if you're President Obama right now, you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, she won Virginia. We already knew that. If you're thinking to yourself that you've got a decent approval ratings, things are going pretty good, you would have figured you could have, you know, to still fight this hard for your candidate and for her not to win, I think that goes in some way a little slap in your face.
Well, also, if you added into the fact that you're running against Donald Trump, who's a flawed candidate in and of himself, you would think if you picked any other Democrat, this would have been quite a bit easier. But then again, you also look at it the other way. If the Republicans had picked anybody else, you would think that this would not have already been over for a Republican. So each side has their own problem with the fact that they're running what many people consider to be flawed candidates. So that's kind of the problem. Remember, there's been no love lost between the Clintons and the Obamas, going back to the 2008 South Carolina primary, where Bill kind of put his foot in it and insulted Barack Obama. So while he has to be partners with her politically, I don't think that they're going to be hosting each other in quite a bit of dinner parties, or they'll be getting Christmas invitations between each other.
No, I don't think so either. I think that they're let's just say their Christmas exchange of cards was only going to happen this year had she won. And they needed each other, though. Donald Trump needed Hillary to have a shot to win this thing, and Hillary needed a Donald Trump-like candidate to have a shot at winning this thing, because both of them were so flawed in everything, that the way they handled themselves, either before becoming presidential nominees, or, you know, before they even got into any kind of race, they jacked the pooch up in such a way that if it was anybody else on either side, we probably would have been done about an hour and a half ago.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. It's crazy. We're talking to Jim Kennedy and Greg Corumbus from Radio America. Greg, give us a breakdown of Wisconsin. And before I do that, I see that the Dow's down 600 points. If that's any indication to you of where we think we're going in this potentially tonight, realize the Dow, that the, you know, you're looking at our stock market is ready to essentially die a horrible death in the next 48 hours. because they're such a friend of Hillary. So it's down more than 600 points in aftermarket trading. So give us a sense of Wisconsin right now and where potentially this could be headed.
Wisconsin is tight. 48% of the vote is in. Right now, Trump's ahead by 2 points, 48 to 46. 84% of the vote is counted in Milwaukee. 47% is counted in Dane County, which is Madison. And other counties around Madison are pretty well counted as well. So we've still got some expected red counties. We've still got some border areas like La Crosse, which normally is a fairly Democratic stronghold. But with about 10% of the vote in there, Trump's got a 10-point lead, but there's not a lot of votes in there yet. Interestingly, what was supposed to happen in the Senate race there doesn't appear to be happening, at least at this point, as well as Trump is doing in Wisconsin. Ron Johnson's doing even better. He's got about a 6-point lead right now, 52 to 45. So he's almost at 7-point lead now. And again, the same precincts, same counties apply there in terms of where the vote's been counted. So if that holds on, Evan Bayh and Russ Feingold made very poor decisions to decide to try and run for their old Senate seats again. But a long way to go still in Wisconsin. But right now, Trump and Ron Johnson doing much better than the pollsters suggested.
What's it looking like in the Milwaukee? I mean, like this, and really it's Milwaukee and those areas like Madison where, and Milwaukee probably more so because obviously the population is much bigger. But what's the sense there? I mean, what are we looking at as far as number of, is it like 80% counted or is it still in the 50s?
It's 84% counted in Milwaukee County, and that is hardcore Democratic stronghold. Right now, Hillary's got about 64% of the vote. Trump's got a little over 30. If you're looking at raw vote totals, Hillary's got 204,000 and Trump's got 97. So it's obviously more than 2-1 Clinton at this point. You would expect that final 16% to be somewhere in that neighborhood, but they're running out of votes to count, and that seems to be a problem for her in a couple of states right now.
Yeah, absolutely. How's Kelly Ayotte doing? Do we have any idea?
Kelly Ayotte is ahead right now. Again, that's another state where they're kind of counting on the abacus. They're still, I mean, they kind of, their votes, their polls closed at 7 o'clock Eastern time. That's almost 4 hours ago, and they're only at 52% of the vote in. But Kelly Ayotte is ahead 49.2 to 46.5%. But in New Hampshire, that's only a 10,000 vote margin.
What are they counting? Would they have like a chicken that's counting it every time it pecks? Okay, that's one, right? Steve, the counting chicken counted one over here. Talking to Greg Corumbus from Radio America and Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is joining us. He's been with us through this entire giant run-up to this election. Started over a year plus ago with him going out to the first debate out at Reagan Library for us, and he's been with us through this entire thing. Jim, it's crazy. It's been up. It's been down tonight. The Democrats, as we talked about, you know, they have a Trump problem, the Republicans do, but the Democrats tonight could wake up tomorrow morning and realize that not only did they not get the Senate, House is still there, and now Trump is there, and that, to me, screams of a mandate for Trump and a change in a lot of this stuff.
Right, but as we've mentioned earlier, Trump's loyalty to the Republican Party is barely greater than Hillary's loyalty to the Republican Party.
His loyalty to the Republican Party is that of Bill Clinton's loyalty to his wife.
Yes, tenuous at best.
Yes, at best. And they have an issue, too, an identity crisis, which I think that they're going to – you know, so much has been put on, and I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of the media that is left-leaning, and they put stuff out there. And – so much of that has been put on to the Republicans that have an infighting and there's issues, but the Democrats in and themselves have issues as well. They have a Bernie and a faction out there that is loud and young, who are over the Clintons and the people that have been there forever. And they've got a bunch of other Democrats right now that are seem to be a little bit long in the tooth and don't really have the message that I think that a lot of this group that's loud and vocal that came for Bernie wants to hear. It's not just the Republicans that are facing a shift and change in ideology and path.
Well, yeah, basically both parties are right now that have their only strong groups in each party are very far on the extreme. You've got the far left Bernie socialists, for lack of a better phrase, and you've got the far right Trumpers, if you call them alt-right or whatever you want to label them as. So each party right now is not very close to the middle in either way. And anybody who's coming forward in the Democratic Party and or the Republican Party, depending on who wins and who loses tonight, is going to have to deal with those groups that are out on the far ends of the perimeter that are generating a lot of interest from the party supporters.
It's crazy. Jim Kennedy's with me in studio. We've got Greg Crumbus out there in beautiful Arlington, Virginia tonight, counting everything down, breaking down county by county and race by race. We're going to have them both back straight ahead. It is an exciting night, an interesting night, a night that I don't think any of us foresaw happening. We thought either way it was going to go quick, but they're still slugging it out, and we still have a plenty of it to go. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. I'm live streaming over on Facebook. Check us out, The Chad Benson Show Facebook page. And you can always text the show, 323-538-2423. It's The Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
We are getting closer and closer to finding out who may be president. Just watching something on CNN, and they said, is there any good news for Hillary in New Hampshire? And the guy looks at it and says, I don't think there's any good news for Hillary anywhere. And a text just came in. New York Times Live says what?
91% chance Trump wins the presidency.
Oh, you know what that feeling is inside of Hillary's stomach right now? That is sadness and remorse, and the fact that maybe potentially tonight she's going to have to make a phone call to Donald J. Trump and apologize. Not apologize, but congratulate him, and then listen to him probably gloat. You know who's laughing right about now, Producer Phil?
Who's that?
Diamond and Silk.
Yeah, I bet they are.
I bet those girls are going crazy. I love me some Diamond and Silk, and they're probably dancing the light fandango. Greg Crumbus is with us as well as Jim Kennedy. They're going to be with us through the rest of the evening as we take this thing for the next hour plus as we break things down. Greg, what's it looking like? You know, Pennsylvania is important, but Michigan's important. Give us the two of which one's likelier to end up on the V side for Trump.
Well, right now, Michigan's the one where he's ahead, but he's closing the gap pretty nicely in Pennsylvania. 45% of the vote in Michigan. He's up 2 points, 48-46. In Pennsylvania, it's now just a 2.5-point margin. Remember, just about an hour ago, it was about 16, and 66% of the vote in there. And Philadelphia is up over 90% of the vote counted. So it's getting interesting and tighter and tighter in the state where Hillary thought she had a nice lead, and she's still trying to find a way to get ahead in states where she thought she wouldn't have much trouble, like Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's crazy. How's it looking in Wisconsin? Give us a quick rundown.
Wisconsin right now is looking like Trump is at 49%, Hillary at 46%. That's 56% counted. But again, as we've said before, the Democratic strongholds are already baked into that cake. 84% in Milwaukee now, and 53% in Dane County in Wisconsin. And as we were in the break there, they've just called the Senate race in Wisconsin for Ron Johnson. And so he's got about an 8% lead. And unless there are a lot of ticket splitters, Wisconsin's looking good for the GOP presidential nominee as well.
It is craziness. It is a night of you still don't happen. You know, this is one of those things when you look at sports, Jim. It's this is why they play the game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why they play the game. Remember what 6-8 years ago, the Patriots 18-0, Randy Moss, this great team, taking on a Giants team that, you know, 9-7 squeaked into the playoffs, but somebody forgot to tell them this is why they play the game. And lo and behold, David Tyree with the helmet catch. And next thing you know, there's another victory for the New York Giants over the 18-0 Patriots. This is why they do it. This is why the polls only matter so much. And Nate Silver just called it 55% victory path for Trump right now, which is huge. All things considered, he is the statistical genius. This is why we play it. This is why we vote it.
Absolutely. Like I talked about earlier, these are all based upon, you know, all of these polls are based on models. And if your model's off, your results are going to be off. And there's lots of questions of how many deplorable Trump supporters out there were not counted for various reasons. Either they didn't respond or they simply just didn't offer up their allegiance to Trump in early polling information.
The nervousness now of. You know, and here's the nervousness side of things, too, because, again, this thing's far from over yet. We still have a long way to go. But it's really looking right now where it is tipped towards Trump being the next president of the United States. Now he's playing from in front, which is a much different thing. Sometimes you get that lead and you're not quite sure if this thing's going to hold or not. If you're Hillary right now and you're just – are you beside yourself? I mean, you're looking at all of your people and you're thinking to yourself, how did you get all of this so wrong?
Well, you've got a question. You got to think that, again, we talked about earlier, that there are people that do the polling on internal stuff. Not public polls that are available in the press, but their own internal polling would have told them something earlier tonight, that there's going to be a problem in Michigan. There's going to be a problem in Wisconsin. Trump was going to win Florida. You were going to barely win Virginia. That I would think they would have known this, or maybe they were completely caught by surprise because the Trump turnout was a lot better than they thought. Remember, Hillary has got so many more field offices, so many people on the more people on the ground than Trump did, and they figured that her get out the vote campaign was just going to swamp Trump in a lot of these battleground states. But evidently, it hasn't, especially either in Wisconsin or Michigan right now.
Greg, we got about 30 seconds or so. Who's closing now in the next 3 minutes?
Closing in the next few minutes. Those are your West Coast states. That's California. You've got Washington State, Hawaii, and if Oregon's not already closed, they'll close as well.
So it's going to be very interesting here as we move forward. Some states to watch. Still have no reason, right, Greg, why we have not called Florida except for the Chad Benson Show?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's been no real movement there in those last few precincts in those Democratic counties. So we'll see what comes out of there, hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. We're going to be breaking this thing down for you for the next hour. Currently, as it stands, New York Times Live is calling it for Trump about 90% chance to win. Nate Silver's giving Trump a 55% chance to win. The Chad Benson Show is giving him a 68.75% chance to win based on all of my sweet data that I've done inside of this room and as many cookies as I've eaten tonight. I think I'm pretty much on it. And it's craziness going on there. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Follow along as we Facebook live this for the next hour. We may have the new president of the United States, and it may be Donald J. Trump. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.